Welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be hosting the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Bitcoin is currently trading at $4,484, down 5% in the last 24 hours. Ripple is currently trading at 46 cents. That's down 3.5%. We have Ethereum currently trading at $133. Wow. And that's down 6% in the last 24 hours. We've also had Bitcoin Cash, which is one of the main catalysts for this downward spiral we've been seeing, currently trading at $230. And that is down 6% in the last 24 hours. EOS currently trading at $3.77. Down 2%. I want to give a special shout out to Mixin, which is currently trading at $100.98. And that's up 13% in the last 24 hours. It's outperforming the market massively. One thing I want to highlight though, the volume figures on that are like $18,000 worth of volume in the last 24 hours, which isn't a lot, but they're outperforming the market none the least. Talking about the market, the market cap is currently $146 billion. Wow. And the Bitcoin's dominance of that is 53.2%. I hear a lot of people are worried. I hear a lot of people are concerned. I'm listening to a lot of different podcasts out there. I'm listening to a lot of different videos, watching a lot of different videos. And I think a lot of people are panicking. But that's okay. And one of the reasons I think that's okay, I believe that's okay, is because you're not just seeing Bitcoin down. You're not just seeing Bitcoin Cash down or just Ethereum down or just EOS down. What we are seeing is the overall market. And it has been on a downward trajectory. We've had massive selling pressure. But the key here is the overall market is down. Now, there were many catalysts that increased the speed at which this lost market cap over the weekend, in particular of the Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV, Satoshi's vision situations that were occurring. But if you believe in the technology, price action today does not represent the value of the technology and where it's going to be in the next 10 years. It's just what the price is right now. So as we always say, do the work, have your own research prepared on all of these different assets or tokens or coins that you hold, and know why you're in there. And I think when you see stuff down, and especially when you see tokens that you bought that you weren't really too sure of, that you heard about in the Telegram group that they were going to be the next big thing and it never really took off, and then now they're down like 80%, you know what? Maybe it's time to just get rid of it and not focus on that anymore, because that's what happens. A lot of people buy stuff they weren't really too sure about because they heard it was going to go quote unquote moon, or the correct term was mooning, that they weren't really sure what was going on and they hadn't had enough time spent on why they hold what they do. Do they have conviction? And when they don't, when the market comes down, everyone freaks out and sells everything. So I think that's one key factor there. But remember, this is not financial trading advice, just our own in-house view here at SVK Crypto. With that in mind, let's get on to the next part of the show. Let's find out what people are talking about, what's going down in the cryptocurrency and blockchain sphere. So let's get down to business and let's get on to the next part of the show. So a big story that's been circulating today, that ICE is BAKKT delays Bitcoin futures launch. So the Intercontinental Exchange, which stands for ICE, Bitcoin's futures contract trading platform, is delaying its formal launch. Announced today via company blog post, BAKKT's BAX first product, unveiled in August, now has been postponed to January 24, 2019. Trading warehouse operations are both expected to begin on that date. The platform explained that the new listing timeframe will provide additional time for customer and clearing member onboarding prior to the spot warehousing of new contracts. So what that means is they didn't have enough people signed up prior, and obviously the market's down and people have kind of lost that hunger, that view. And I'm sure there's a lot of institutional investors that are kind of like, okay, we'll wait till this kind of market comes back a little bit. So that's interesting that we're seeing that come through. So an announcement on Medium, backed CEO Kelly Loeffler expanded on her statement, saying that the volume of interest in the company and the work required to get all these pieces in place contributed to the delay. She added, As is often true with product launches, there are new processes, risks, and mitigations to test and retest, and in the case of crypto, a new asset class to which these resources are being applied. So it makes sense to adjust our timeline as we work with the industry toward launch. Bakkt previously anticipated launching its futures trading next month, saying in notice that it would launch the product on December 12th. The new date is still subject to regulatory approval, indicating that the new platform may not have received such approval as of yet. The platform previously revealed it would launch physically settled Bitcoin futures, meaning clients would receive Bitcoin upon the expiration of their contracts rather than the token's cash equivalent. However, the company may offer more than just Bitcoin futures, Loefa hinted today. Later in her post, she noted that we are taking opportunities in our startup phase to expand our offering. We'll share more about some of these new features in the coming weeks, but as a start, I'm pleased to announce that we have insured the Bitcoin that will be traded on our platform, which is going to be huge. So the company is focused on building an institutional-grade cryptocurrency warehouse, she said, adding that we believe this is a significant step in building confidence in this asset class. As part of its efforts to develop the product, Bakkt previously announced it was working with BCG, Microsoft, and Starbucks. The company has provided assistance in both customer experience and risk management for the product. Originally, this was massive news. This was great news. I remember a lot of different kind of stories that stemmed from this, saying that Microsoft and Starbucks are now going to be opening a crypto exchange, which was not the case. But it's great to see that they're working with ICE or the Intercontinental Exchange. This is just another great thing that's happening for the entire space. And as we always say, that adoption will come. And we'll have institutional adoption along with mass adoption. But it's going to take time. And it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen next week. And it's probably not going to happen next month. But it's going to take time. This is a process. It's a small steps forward. And this is definitely one of those small steps. What's interesting when the market is down, what many people don't think about, is that when the market is down, it is costing people to mine Ethereum. It's costing people to mine Bitcoin. So how are the miners looking at the current situation, since they're the one really keeping the network alive, right? So I read here that ETH mining not profitable, miner heats home with ASIC rigs. So one of the mining groups by the name of Susquehanna International Group, a global mining and technology company, has announced that mining ETH with a graphics processing unit, GPU, is no longer a profitable activity. According to the company's analysis, the dollar-denominated monthly returns from GPU mining of ETH fell to approximately zero as of November 1st. In a note issued to clients, Christopher Rowland, a semiconductor analyst for Susquehanna International, clearly stated that GPU ETH mining is no longer profitable. It looks like the kind of the peak profitability of that was back in 2017, around July, when the price was going up. You're making in excess of $147 per Ethereum that you mine. So according to the company's analysis, profitability of GPU mining of Ether peaked at around $65 per month at the start of the year before dropping to as low as $20 in April. As a result of a significant drop in the price of ETH during the first quarter, profitability rose to around $30 throughout most of the second quarter before sliding down to zero in the following months. So a Canadian cryptocurrency miner has tweeted a photo of a prototype heating system designed to heat his 600 square foot home using recycled heat generated by six ASIC miners. He claimed that the system is able to comfortably heat his home at desired temperature and is operational year round. The miner explained that excess heat is recirculated outside his home and then set up with a quiet surrounding. I love that. So at a recent Nikkei CNBC Future of Money conference in Tokyo, Jihan Wu, co-founder of Bitmain, took aim at Craig Wright and proof-of-stake POS mining, discussing the recent Bitcoin cash fork and subsequent hash war. Wu described White's actions as an attempted 51% attack on Bitcoin cash, adding that no one should try and take the community by force. Turning to criticize proof-of-stake mining, Wu stated that it presents numerous unsolved problems and risk factors that have yet to be resolved. So this is huge. You're seeing miners now, kind of the basic level of miners, really kind of backing out. Now it's kind of the more industrial, high-level miners like Bitmain for Bitcoin, and there's many others for Ethereum as well, really kind of taking a more of kind of land grab over the mining pool situation, which is a shame to see, because before it was anyone with a computer with a basic ASIC drive, and they could basically mine cryptocurrencies, and now it's kind of for the large corporations out there, which is a shame to see. Let's talk about insurance. So the crypto insurance market may total $6 billion. That's nowhere near enough. So as Wall Street raises the stakes around cryptocurrency, large institutional players are circling this new asset and bringing them their own set of requirements. For example, there's a need for qualified custodians to hold the assets these big money investors will trade, as in the traditional regulated financial realm. But a less discussed yet critical condition for making institutions feel at home is providing adequate insurance against theft for all those custodied assets. So the problem is that there's not enough of these assurances to go around. So while insurance is an opaque market, estimates of the total amount coverage the industry is willing to provide to crypto custodians and exchanges top out around $6 billion, a drop in the bucket considering there's three top exchanges can handle each more than $1 billion of trades a day, to say nothing of the total market capitalization of all cryptocurrencies, currently $145 billion, even after this week's brutal sell-off. So as the optimistic total availability capacity for crypto-related crime insurance placements starkly lags demand, said Jacqueline Quintal, financial institutions practice leader and insurance broker Aon Risk Solutions. So this is huge. Insurance is something that people aren't talking enough about. It's something that needs to be covered. We're starting to see more industries in the space coming through. I know in London, the Lloyds of London Bank are particularly interested in this sector. But guess what? There's more things that are needed. It's a step in the right direction. And on that note, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention as always. Feel free to join our Telegram channel, SVK Crowd. Hit us up on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. And if you have any questions or queries, feel free to reach myself, Story, Story, @svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.